Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about two new requests of Tesla from NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Then we've also got an update from Volkswagen, continuing to talk about the challenges of Tesla. Then we've got a new nickel supply contract, some new information on Tesla's Plaid battery packs, an update on the EV tax credit, and more. Quick look at the stock, Tesla today as well as the NASDAQ both finishing up about 0.7%, Tesla closing at $811.08. As a reminder, we are now 1 week away from Tesla's Q3 earnings report. All right, so first up today, we again have NHTSA requesting more information from Tesla, this time sending Tesla two separate letters requesting info. The first of the two letters is primarily interested in Tesla's update of Autopilot to include the new feature that allows Autopilot at night to detect and slow down if there is an emergency vehicle on the side of the road. Of course, as we have talked about on many occasions, NHTSA is in a preliminary evaluation investigation of Tesla related to, I believe, 13 crashes that have occurred with roadside first responder vehicles. That investigation is still ongoing despite Tesla pushing out this new feature. Anyway, NHTSA is asking about this and saying, quote, "As Tesla is aware, the Safety Act imposes an obligation on manufacturers of motor vehicles and motor vehicle equipment to initiate a recall by notifying NHTSA when they determine vehicles or equipment they produced contain defects related to motor vehicle safety, or do not comply with an applicable motor vehicle safety standard," end quote. They continue to say that any manufacturer issuing an over-the-air update that mitigates a defect that poses an unreasonable risk to motor vehicle safety is required to timely file an accompanying recall notice. So why did Tesla not issue a safety recall? Well, I think I can answer that one for you pretty easily, NHTSA. No need to go to Tesla. It's pretty simple. This is not a safety defect. This is something that was a limitation and has always been a limitation for Tesla and for others with their Level 2 Advanced Driver Assistance Systems. Apparently, NHTSA has never read the owner's manual nor the owner's manual for any other ADAS system because Tesla very clearly says it is the driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and be in control of the vehicle at all times. Driver Assistance System. Furthermore, the warnings in the Traffic Aware Cruise Control section specifically say that it cannot detect all objects, and especially in situations when you are driving over 50 miles per hour, it may not brake or decelerate when a vehicle or object is partially in the driving lane, or when a vehicle you are following moves out of your driving path and a stationary or slow-moving vehicle or object is in front of you. Always pay attention to the road ahead and stay prepared to take immediate corrective action. Depending on Traffic Aware Cruise Control, to avoid a collision can result in serious injury or death, end quote. NHTSA here is trying to classify something that Tesla very clearly has said the system may not be capable of performing as a safety defect. If that's the stance that NHTSA is going to have, then why is cruise control in any normal car not a safety defect? Because it's not going to stop for a car on the side of the road. Just because Tesla has a system that's capable of doing more things than that, all of a sudden it's a safety defect when it can't do everything perfectly? It makes no sense. If you think it's not fair to compare with normal cruise control, which I don't know why it wouldn't be, but if you think it's not fair, okay, let's go ahead and compare with other ADAS systems from other manufacturers. GM Super Cruise, whole bunch of warnings, just like Tesla has. Here's one of them. Does not prevent crashes or warn of possible crashes. Here's another one. Does not steer to avoid stopped or slow-moving vehicles, cross-traffic, construction barriers or cones, motorcycles, children, pedestrians, animals, or other objects on the road. Quote, "It's extremely important that you pay attention to the operation of the vehicle, even while using Super Cruise, always be prepared to take over operation of the vehicle at all times," end quote. Here's what Ford says about their ADAS. "At all times, you are responsible for controlling your vehicle, supervising the system, and intervening if required. And again, among many other warnings, the system may not detect stationary or slow-moving vehicles below 10 kilometers an hour." If NHTSA says this is a safety defect for Tesla, by their own admission, GM and Ford are saying that they have the exact same safety defects for their ADAS systems. That's not anything wrong with the warnings. The warnings should say that. It's a design limitation. If design limitations didn't exist, well, we would have level 5 driving and we would never have any accidents ever. And look, I was a person at the beginning of this preliminary evaluation saying, hey, this makes sense. It's normal for a regulator to want to look into cutting-edge technology. Hopefully NHTSA will do a good job with it, be data-driven in their approach, which I think they generally have been in the past, and Elon has even said that it's been okay working with them. But to me, this looks like a step in the direction of targeting Tesla specifically, and it builds on other things that we've seen elsewhere in the government, from the outright refusal of the current administration to even mention the name Tesla, to the UAW carve-out in the EV tax credit proposal, to Tesla being specifically absent and ignored at the EV summit, and now Tesla is being apparently singled out for a so-called safety defect that exists in all available ADAS systems today. It's just extremely disheartening that we have this generational company that is doing everything they can to help humanity move forward into a sustainable future. And instead of doing all that we can to help support that, to push that forward, to celebrate that, Instead, from the government to the media, all we do is sit here and throw rocks or turn a blind eye. Now, I hope these comments are premature. I think the forced request for information here is overstepping and clearly illogical, and both of those things cause me to have concern about how NHTSA is operating and even our country is operating. But at the same time, requesting information or requesting explanations is not the same as putting a new mandate or restriction on Tesla, and NHTSA has not done that as of yet. Hopefully NHTSA will come to their senses and realize the underlying fallacy of this request. All right, getting back to that first letter that NHTSA sent, they did also kind of shoehorn some other requests for information in this. They're asking for Tesla's criteria and timeline for allowing access to customers who have requested consideration in Tesla's FSD beta request process, and also ask Tesla to supply a listing of the number of respondents who have opted in on the FSD beta request and the effective date and time for that figure. I don't see how that in any way relates to the request for information about the emergency vehicle feature, but it's in there, which maybe wouldn't be that strange, except for the fact that on the same day, NHTSA sent a second letter requesting other information, and this does actually relate to FSD. In that second letter, they write, quote, "Recently, NHTSA has become aware of reports that participants in Tesla's FSD Early Access Beta Release Program have non-disclosure agreements that allegedly limit the participants from sharing information about FSD that portrays the feature negatively or from speaking with certain people about FSD," end quote. On this matter, they request various information from Tesla, including the manner in which non-disclosure agreements between Tesla and FSD early access beta programs are executed, a copy of any non-disclosure agreements entered into with non-employee participants or employee participants, and to state whether Tesla requires vehicle owners to agree as a condition of use of autopilot to any terms that would prevent or discourage vehicle owners from sharing information about or discussing any aspect of autopilot with any person other than Tesla. So I've shared my thoughts on this. Obviously, Elon said that he wasn't sure why there was an NDA, and obviously new beta testers, there's no NDA. And while there were certain terms to agree to, just like any product may have, clearly I have not been limited to share all my experiences with the beta, good or bad. So point being, I don't see too much risk there, but this is an area where I understand why NHTSA is asking. This request is much more valid to me than that first letter was. Anyway, for all these new information requests from both of these letters, Tesla will have until November 1st to respond. All right, so let's move on. We've got another report on Volkswagen management communications and how they are reacting to Tesla. A lot of headlines out there on this today saying that Volkswagen is considering cutting up to 30,000 jobs. So the original report was from German publication Handelsblatt, and this was about a supervisory board meeting back in September with Diess, of course, presenting to the board his concerns in terms of what is happening in the automotive industry and the risks that Volkswagen faces because of those. And that's where that 30,000 job number came from. Basically, he was saying, if we do not adapt, then 30,000 jobs could be at risk. So that's the headline, and that has caused a lot of stir. Volkswagen representatives have responded to those claims and have not confirmed that that was discussed, but said that 30,000 jobs being in question is absurd. And I hate to break it to anyone at Volkswagen, but there are a heck of a lot more than 30,000 jobs that truly are at risk. Aside from that headline, I did find a couple of other details in the Handelsblatt article interesting. They are reporting that indeed Tesla is causing Volkswagen to rethink their strategies, specifically in relation to their Trinity project for 2026, which we talked about previously. Diess had basically said that they need to take things even further than what they're already planning. Anyway, Handelsblatt reporting that someone in Volkswagen's management about this meeting and those changes said, quote, "Even if there are no final decisions, there were discussions about it. Like the Wolfsburg main plant will change. We are in the phase of brainstorming. We are only at the beginning," end quote. So things like this demonstrate how big of a lead Tesla truly has. Volkswagen's talking about how to compete, and they're talking about 2026, and they say that they're still at the beginning and brainstorming for that period. Again, that's a lot bigger news than 30,000 jobs being at risk. Anyway, the next VW board meeting is supposed to happen on November 12th, about which Handelsblatt writes, quote, "After the scandal in September, the supervisory board also instructed Diess to create new scenarios to be calculated, this time without deleting tens of thousands of jobs," end quote. Well, jobs are great, but unfortunately you don't just get to choose to have jobs for the sake of jobs. Jobs exist to create value. If you're not creating value, no job. Sure sounds like a constraint to me that could lead to a suboptimal outcome for Volkswagen. Next up, we've got the announcement of a new supply contract for Tesla. This is with Prony Resources for nickel for somewhere in the ballpark of 42,000 tons on a multi-year deal. Over on Twitter then, account JPR007 did a little bit of math on that and estimates that that would be enough nickel for about 600,000 vehicles. Unfortunately, that still doesn't tell us too much because, as I said, it is a multi-year deal, and Prony Resources declined to say the duration of the deal. That doesn't seem to be an annual target because right now Prony Resources does somewhere in the ballpark of 20,000 tons per year. So always good to hear about Tesla getting more nickel, but beyond that, we can't really learn a whole lot from this. One thing that was interesting though, Prony Resources did add that they also expect the nickel market to return to a surplus for 4 years from 2022 as producers in Indonesia increase their supply. So that's actually, I feel like, pretty good news, but they do say that they expect demand to then outstrip supply thereafter. Next, we've got some new information on Tesla's Plaid battery packs. So YouTuber Engineerix got his hands on a Model S pack. So he's got about a 10-minute video there if you want to check that out. To me, some of the interesting things were that there are now 5 battery modules instead of 16 previously. Obviously, Tesla finding a way to do more cells per module in that setup. And in general, they're using fewer cells in the new packs as well. So we had already learned from Motor Trend that the energy capacity was a little bit smaller in these new packs than the previous version of the Model S. They had said 100 versus 104 kilowatt hours. Engineerix putting the energy capacity at 99 kilowatt hours from 7,920 battery cells. That's about 330 less than before. It's actually a pretty big difference because not only does that mean that the cost for battery cells per vehicle is 4% less, it means that Tesla can produce 4% more vehicles with the same amount of batteries, and each of those vehicles again costing less. Synergistically, leveraging, efficiencies. It's like buzzword bingo over here and Tesla doing a good job of hitting them all. Next, kind of a neat story on the used car market. I See Cars tracks used car days on market. And it turns out that for the month of September, the car that has sold the quickest from the services that they track has been the Tesla Model 3, selling on average in 16 days, which is about twice as fast as the average used vehicle, which takes about 33 days to sell. So not that we needed it, but yet another sign of strong demand for Tesla vehicles. Last couple of quick things here. First, an update on the U.S. federal EV tax credit. Reuters is reporting that 107 Democrats have urged Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi to retain the $4,500 credit that is in the current proposal for union-made electric vehicles. The letter, which was led by Representative Tom Suozzi, said, quote, "We strongly support leveling the playing field between non-union and unionized workforces by including the added $4,500 incentive to support union-made EVs," end quote. Interesting choice of words there to level the playing field with a $4,500 credit. Motor Trend back in 2008, so a long time ago, reported that the number of labor hours per vehicle was somewhere between 30 and 35 hours in North America, so let's assume that that has improved a bit. We'll just go with the 30 number. $4,500 divided by 30 labor hours per car is $150 per labor hour. If we're talking about leveling the playing field, this representative is saying that being unionized as a workforce is a $150 per hour disadvantage. Stating that another way, let's say that non-unionized worker may be making $30 an hour. That would mean that the unionized worker would have to be making $180 per hour for this $4,500 credit to level the playing field between the two. Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that workers on the assembly line at Ford, GM, Chrysler are probably not making $350,000 a year. So no, this doesn't level the playing field between union or non-union. This levels the playing field between competent and incompetent. And you know what? Actually, it doesn't even level the playing field because honestly, the gap is probably bigger than that. Anyway, you all know my thoughts on that proposal. A lot of nonsense in there, but hopefully that demonstrates with some math just exactly how much nonsense it is. All right, last item here, some more news on chip shortages. Bloomberg is reporting that Apple is likely to slash projected iPhone 13 production targets by as many as 10 million units this year due to prolonged chip shortages. Sources told Bloomberg that Broadcom and Texas Instruments are having trouble hitting their supply target. MacRumors today reporting that some suppliers have denied any lowered production targets, so who knows, but obviously this continues to be an issue, and if Apple is having trouble with it, Apple is widely regarded as a powerhouse in supply chain and logistics management, so if they're struggling with it, then yeah, it's pretty serious. All right, so that'll conclude quite the episode today. Hopefully a more positive, upbeat episode tomorrow. We'll see. Just deep in my core, I get so frustrated with things that are illogical, but I guess that's just part of life. So anyway, as always, thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and sign up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, October 14th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.